Hello again, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. This is your hometown radio station, as you well know, right there in Madison and North Florida. But if you're listening by computer as WMAF streams on the World Wide Web, we welcome you today. And if you have downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we welcome you today, and we invite you to gather with us around the Word of God. And he that hath an ear, the Scripture teaches, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. That means that God speaks to us by and through His Word and by His Holy Spirit today. And I believe if we will hear His voice, you know, there's a scripture in the New Testament that says that we should not harden our hearts as in the day of provocation, as ancient Israel did when He brought them out of Egypt, a 10-day journey to the promised land took 40 years to get them in there, because they didn't listen and give heed. Through unbelief and through the hardness of their heart, they didn't listen to God. But the Bible said in the New Covenant, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the day of the provocation. If you will prepare your heart for the Word of God, and then you will hear what the Spirit says to the church. And if you will give heed to what He speaks to you. You know, somebody today that doesn't know Jesus, God, by His Spirit, will speak to you, and He will call you to come and be saved. Oh, friend, what a wonderful God that speaks to His people by His Holy Spirit. And if we respond to Him, He will do us good today. He will do nothing but good in your life if you would just listen to Him. Oh, well, I just wanted you to know that God loves you, and we invite you to come to the Word of God with us and listen with us for His voice to speak something precisely, personally to you and to me today. I believe I'm going to hear as I'm speaking that God will speak something to me. I'm not so well versed in Scripture and experienced in God that I don't need to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Praise God. While we're on that subject, just before we go to the Scripture and the subject matter today, there are many fine ministries right there in Madison and North Florida. Some minister right there on WMAF. These are local churches that would be so happy to see you Sunday morning. Praise God. I had some guys tell me one time when I invited them to church in our neighborhood, they got up and started drinking beer early. So even by 11 a.m. when our service used to start, they were already well underway. And I would go invite them to come. And they said, Pastor, if we came in the church would just fall in. The roof would cave in as if it would shock God, and the very building would shake. And I would laugh with them, but very seriously and sincerely, I would invite them to come and worship with us, to come and hear the Word of God, come and hear what Jesus has done on the cross in our behalf. It was my privilege, after years and years and years, to lead both of those men to Jesus Christ before they passed away. Oh, friend, there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in the person of the Holy Spirit. I call Him the Hound of Heaven. They didn't come into the kingdom of God because I kept hounding them. They came into the kingdom of God because God's Holy Spirit drew them. Amen. And I'm convinced He's drawing men and women, boys and girls, all over this world. Praise God. So, well, having said that, we want to get into God's Word. We're going to be talking about something the devil wishes we would not speak of, because it is one of the greatest weapons, one of the greatest blessing and opportunity and privileges in the kingdom of God, to defend us against the enemy and to obtain all that God has provided for us through Jesus Christ. I'm going to be talking today about the power of perpetual praying. The power of perpetual praying, and in little footnote or PS to that, that perseverance in prayer equals victory in battle. I want to say that again. Perseverance in prayer equals victory in battle. You see, friends, standing on the Word does not mean sitting idle, hoping for an answer from God. Standing in faith does not mean believing for something in our heart with no other spiritual exercise. Waiting upon the Lord does not mean doing nothing and becoming inactive spiritually. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 16 that we are to pray without ceasing, to pray without ceasing. I was sharing a testimony of a great victory wrought through prayer, and someone asked me what changed in your prayer life that you can give credit to for this great breakthrough, this great answer to prayer. And I said, the frequency and the fervency. The frequency. I prayed more often, more consistently, and I prayed more persistently. So the frequency and the fervency of prayer is what changed. And when it did, answers begin to come that the enemy had defiantly declared would never, ever, ever occur. You see, friend, the reason we are to pray without ceasing is because there's great potential and power released when we pray. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says it very clearly. It says, and actually 16 through 18, listen to it. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now it went on to say, Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Praise God. What that's saying is, this man who saw such great, powerful, supernatural answers to prayer was a man just like you are, just like I am, subject to like passions as we are. And what released all of this power then in a man with human frailties? And if you know the story of Elijah, this man who called fire out of heaven ended up in a cave of discouragement with all kinds of questions and doubts in his heart until God called him out of that cave. Friend of mine, he was just like any other persons with the same kind of tests and temptations and weaknesses. Listen, but he prayed. He prayed in a way that God heard the prayer and God answered the prayer. Praise God. See, nobody is a nobody in the kingdom of God. Someone said Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees, because he knows it is not our strength that is at issue when we pray. It is the power of God Himself. If we pray in the purpose of God, we will see the power of God released to fulfill that purpose. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We pray for that event to occur. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. I like what Matthew Henry said, commenting on this very verse. He said it must be a pouring out of the heart to God, and it must proceed from faith unfeigned. It must be a pouring out of the heart to God, and it must proceed from a faith that is unfeigned. And he goes on to say in his commentary, Elijah prayed earnestly, or as in the original, in prayer he prayed. In prayer he prayed. So it was not just something he was saying, but something he was doing, something he was living in constantly, something abiding in his heart before the words were even spoken. I've often said it, and I'm going to reiterate it here today in this teaching. Often said it to our congregation, prayer doesn't begin in the head, articulating and speaking words just from our intellect. Prayer begins in the deepest part of our heart, in the deep longings of our soul. And then we express our faith in God to answer that prayer when we verbalize it and vocalize it. But it doesn't start in the mouth or in the head. It starts in the heart. Matthew Henry goes on to say, it is not enough to say a prayer. We must pray in prayer. Our thoughts must be fixed, our desires firm and ardent, and our graces in exercise. Praise God. He further states, thus you see, prayer is the key which opens and shuts heaven. Praise God. God had shut up heaven in Elijah's day as a judgment against an evil king and his wicked wife. And I'm going to tell you something. Amen. God shut heavens and an agriculturally driven economy went to pieces. And for 3.5 years, not a drop of water fell. And there was great famine in the land, friend of mine. But in his mercy and grace, when Elijah prayed again for that mercy to come forth in the sending of the rain once again. Hallelujah. Heaven opened. The shut heaven now opened and the rain came and the blessing came. Praise God. Hallelujah. No wonder Paul says we are to pray without ceasing. Satan, our great enemy, will vigorously oppose us as we move into this kind of power with God. He will try to distract us, to break the spiritual momentum that perpetual prayer is producing. Great revivals and marvelous moves of God are born out of desperate praying. Many times when the answer is achieved and the blessing comes, the prayer life cools off. We lose the sense of urgency that produced the fervent praying and the momentum of that revival is broken. Victory is lost. The vanquished enemy comes back in force. Do you remember what happened when Moses was standing and Israel is engaged in a battle with their enemies in a valley and up on top of the hill? Moses is praying to God for victory. He is interceding. He had his hands raised to heaven. In the Chaldean part of that ancient text, it means he had his hands raised in prayer. And when he became weary and his hands came down, the Aaron and Hur who were standing by his side were astounded to see the tide of battle turn in the enemy's favor. When he became weary in praying, And the momentum of that prayer, the fervency of that prayer, the frequency of that prayer, when it was broken, then the enemy began to prevail. So they grabbed they rolled a stone over where he was standing and had him sit upon the stone. They took both of his hands and lifted them up so that in his humanity he was supported by his friends as he prayed, and the tide of battle turned back into Israel's favor. And as they saw what was happening on earth, being determined by whether or not prayer was persistent and consistent, what a glimpse we have into the power and potential of prayer. No wonder the enemy fights with everything he's got to keep us from praying perpetually and fervently, because he knows if we persist, God will not fail. If we continue on in faith and express that faith in frequency and fervency of prayer, God is going to do mighty things. God is going to come through. Great victories are going to be wrought. So we need to understand how vitally important it is that we, you and I, if you're a Christian today, that we pray without ceasing. The devil will seek to deceive us by telling us it is futile to continue to pray. The answer hasn't come, and therefore it isn't coming. Remember something about the devil that is so important. The devil, the scripture said, is a liar and the father of it. Every word out of his mouth is a lie. The circumstance will tell you the same thing. We pray and it may get worse. We pray and there may seem to be no change, but that doesn't mean that God isn't listening, and it doesn't mean that God isn't moving by his Spirit. In his timing and in his wisdom and in his way, prayer will be answered. But the devil is a liar, and he will use that circumstance and lie through that circumstance and say, look, you don't see anything. You prayed for years. There's no change. Keep praying. Lay hold of the horns of the altar and do not turn loose. I heard this story, and I can't help but tell you, in the light of the lies of the devil today. A man stopped by a house with a sign in front of it that said, talking dog for sale. The owner directed him to the backyard to see the dog. He was pretty skeptical and called out, you talk? Yep, the mutt replied. The man then said, so what's your story? The dog looked up and said, well, I discovered this gift when I was young, and I wanted to help the government, so I went to work for the CIA. I jetted around from country to country. I spied on world leaders because no one ever figured a dog could eavesdrop. And if he could, he couldn't tell what he heard. I was one of their most valuable agents. I uncovered some incredible secrets and was awarded a bunch of medals. I had a wife, a mess of puppies, and now I've just retired. The guy couldn't believe his ears. His jaw was dropped. His mouth was open. Who ever heard of a dog that talked? He was already thinking of ways he could use an eavesdropping, talking dog. He turned to the owner and said, how much do you want for him? The owner replied, $10. To which the man replied, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. How in the world can you sell him so cheap? The owner just shook his head and said, because he's a big, fat liar. He's never been out of this yard. That lazy dog won't even get off the porch. Every word he says is a big, fat lie, and I'm tired of listening to him lie. Friend of mine, every word the devil says is a big, fat lie. A man came to a preacher one time and he told him, the devil tells me I'm not saved. The devil tells me that God doesn't love me. The devil's been telling me that I will never, ever make it to heaven. The devil tells me that I'm no good. The devil tells me I can never be free from my habits. The devil tells me this. The devil tells me that. Have you got a word for me? And the pastor immediately replied, yes, I do. Stop listening to the devil. Amen. Friend of mine, it's time we stop listening to the devil, and it's time that we start listening to God. And God, in his word, speaks to us about perpetual prayer. And he says, amen, that we are to pray without ceasing. In the New Testament, Jesus, in the gospel, speaks to us, and he says he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he told the parable of the unjust judge and the widow who wanted justice for her son. She showed up in court every time he held court. She showed up in court every time that he held court. and he was a judge, the Bible said, that feared God nor man. He would not be intimidated, coerced by anyone because of the awesome authority that judge had. He didn't care what people wanted. He didn't care what they demanded, but something about a little lady sitting there in every courtroom staring him down, holding her hand up, wanting an audience. Finally, to get her off his back, he said, "Lady, what do you want?" She said, "Justice," and he gave whatever the justice was to her because of her importunity, it said in Scripture. Because she continued to keep on keeping on, he gave the answer. There's something about faith that God honors when we keep on keeping on and expressing our faith in him through our consistently praying before him. Amen. The Bible said, "Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given you. Knock and the door shall be opened." That's what Jesus taught about prayer. And in the actual Greek, it is in the continuous sense. In other words, it would read like this: ask and keep on asking. It's not asking as if he hadn't heard us. That would be a lack of faith. It's asking because we know he's listening. That is an act of faith. Praise God. And seek and keep on seeking, and knock and keep on knocking. Praise God. The next time Satan says God isn't listening, your faith is too small, you're not worthy, it will never happen, it's too late, it's too hard, it's been too long, we must remember that he is a big fat liar. And keep on praying and keep on believing. In effect, keep on expressing our faith through the frequency and the fervency of our prayers. Pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing will bring astonishing results. I believe this wonderful, wonderful God of ours, who tells us to come, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. This God who literally challenges us and invites us to pray. Jesus put it this way. He said, "Heretofore you've asked the Father nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive, so that your joy might be full. For the Father himself loveth you." He said, "You haven't been asking. Ask that you might receive. Ask that you might receive, for the Father himself loveth you." In John 15, he said, "I've spoken all these things," and part of it was about fruitfulness, and part of it was about answered prayer. He said, "I've spoken these things to you that my joy might be in you, so that your joy might be full." And friend of mine, when prayers are answered, it is an amazing thing that happens in a church, in a family, in a group of Christians, in an individual. When prayer is answered, when we know, we see the hand of God at work in people's lives and in circumstances, and we know the God of glory is listening when we pray. You know, David put it this way in the book of Psalms. David said, "I love the Lord because he hears my cry. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. I love the Lord because he hears my prayer, turning his ear always to me." Or as one translation puts it in paraphrase, "He bends down and listens when I pray." Ah, friend, can you visualize that today? Can we see God not sitting aloof, high in his heaven, unconcerned about your circumstance? But when you say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming to you today. I'm bringing this circumstance. I'm bringing myself. I'm bringing this need before you today." Can you see God, like David through the eye of faith, knew in his heart of hearts that God was bending down to listen to his prayer? Ah, friend, this God who said, "Call upon me in the time of trouble. I want you to come to me. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asks, Christ said, receives. If we ask in faith, believing, ask in prayer, believing. Oh, when you put prayer and faith together, it's like nitro and glycerin. Praise God. Something powerful is going to occur. Something explosive answer is coming. Oh, I believe that we're going to see the hand of God move in a mighty way. The very fact that the Lord is leading so many people to point us back to prayer. Oh, we've had our inner ingenuity, our intellect, and our energy expressed in all kinds of religious fields, and we have not seen the great outpourings of God. And with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we haven't seen the great ingathering of souls to where entire communities and cities are shaken because of the mighty move of God. But I believe that this very day that God is moving by His Holy Spirit. And I believe the old adage that was said so many times, when God wants to do something big, He sets His people a-praying. And I believe today that if you're a Christian, that the Holy Spirit in you and in me right now is building a flame of fervent desire to see prayers answered, to see God move, and it's going to come into a great flame and fire within. And I believe we're going to pray like we've never prayed, and God is going to move like we have never seen Him move. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm excited today about the power and the potential of perpetual, protracted prayer. When we pray without ceasing, God is going to fulfill His eternal purposes in answer to our prayers. And the more people that this fire catches hold of, the more and more churches and individuals we're going to see catch on fire. Praise God. And I believe the mighty flame of revival is going to come. And in that flame of revival, people are going to see the living God, the listening God, the lifting God, the God who answers. And they will say what the Scripture said when Israel was right with God and prayers were being answered. They would say of them, who has a God like their God? A God so nigh them in all that they call upon Him for. When they pray, He listens. When they pray, answers occur. Oh, who has a God like the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Who has a God like our God today? For this same God is the God that Jesus said has now become our Heavenly Father. We have an intimate, personal, accessible relationship with Him. All we need do now is pray like we have never prayed before. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, the greatest prayer that you could pray and the prayer that God will always hear, heed, and answer, guaranteed, is when we repent of our sins and we come to Him and say, Lord, I've sinned against You. I'm so sorry. In the name of Jesus, forgive my sin. I accept Jesus Christ, the one You sent to die on the cross for me, as my Lord and my Savior, and I accept Him right here, right now, in this holy moment. And I thank You for saving and delivering me. And today, if you're a Christian, lay hold on the horns of the altar. Even if you're a preacher, pastor, evangelist, don't just depend on your education, your intellect, your ingenuity. Let's pray. Saturate your sermon with prayer. Saturate your people with prayer. Saturate your pulpit with prayer. And let's see God show up and show out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The devil will surely tremble when he sees us calling upon the Lord. Well, we love you today. I'm stirred about this. I pray you are too. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.